Well, thank you very much for your welcome this evening, and I wonder if we could turn to the scriptures, please, now. I've got four short verses to read, starting with the first one in the book of James. So Hebrews and then James in the New Testament. All our readings this evening are from the New Testament, starting with one verse in the book of James and chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says there, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's the first verse. And I've got four little headings, a heading for each verse to help us with our thoughts this evening. And the heading that we have on that verse is "Life is short." What is your life? It is even a vapour. What life is short? We'll come back to that in a moment. Can we turn, please, going back the way to, or in the reverse, really, back to the book of Hebrews and chapter 9. Hebrews and chapter 9 and verse 27. It says there, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The title I've got over that verse is "Death is Sure." So we've had "Life is Short." What is your life? And now "Death is Sure." It is appointed unto men once to die. Going back again, please, a little bit further back now into the book of Romans, please. Romans and chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, a well-known verse, verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And it says there, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I'll read that again. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And indeed, the title I've got over that verse is "Sin, the Cause." Sin, the Cause. We've had "Life is Short." We've had "Death is Sure." And now we have "Sin, the Cause." And then finally, please, we turn over again, going back into John's Gospel now, please, for our final verse. John's Gospel, again, very well-known verse. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm sure you many can turn straight to that verse. John chapter 3 and verse 16, and it says, "Therefore God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's read that again, indeed. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the title over that verse is "Christ the Cure." For he gave his only begotten Son. Christ the Cure. So we've had "Life is Short," "Death is Sure," "Sin the Curse," "Christ the Cure." And I must admit, I didn't get those from my own thoughts. These four little titles came off a little gospel tract that I was handed some time ago, and I've used these titles before, and I think they're just lovely, and they sum up in a lot of ways the message of the gospel. For that's the purpose of our gathering together this evening, isn't it? To hear the message of the gospel. Now the word gospel means good news. So we've come to hear the good news, and you might be thinking at the beginning of our meeting this evening, what's so good about this speaker coming to the front of the hall and saying, "Life is short and death is sure"? That doesn't seem like there's very much good news in that. And sin, the curse, well, you know, the message of the gospel is very much a twofold message. And it's a message which brings before men and women and boys and girls a message of warning, an earnest warning about the situation that we find ourselves in. But, you know, as well as it's a message of warning, it's balanced because it's also a very much a message of love. And it's a message that tells us of God's love for men and women and boys and girls. That despite the circumstances that men and women find themselves in, God has showed forth his love to them in the giving of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is the cure to the problem of sin. And these are the four titles. I'd like just to think about each one of these titles in a little bit more detail as we go through our meeting this evening. So first of all then, thinking about this verse in James chapter 4, life is short. For what is your life? Indeed, that's something to think about, isn't it? What is your life? What's the purpose? What is your life? And it says there in James, it's even as a vapor, it appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. You know, we all live a life, but in relative terms to the great eternity, however long we live, whether we live for 40 or 50 or 60 or even 80 or 90 years, the relative number of years that we live are but a tiny fraction of the great vastness of eternity, aren't they? And you know, life is short. We don't have a great deal of time in this life. You know, I was just pondering the fact, you know, there are very few of us who would remember our great-grandparents. You know, we remember back a generation, remember our parents, we remember our grandparents, but very few of us will remember our great-grandparents. And life comes and goes, doesn't it? And we forget people very quickly. And there's only a few individuals in history who will be remembered, who are written down in the history books. And you know, I was just thinking today is called Remembrance Sunday. And there are many places up and down this country today where folks who have given their lives for their country are being remembered. And there's great screeds of names on these various memorials and written down. But you know, there's very little will be remembered about these individuals. They're just names. They're names now written down from the past that mean very little to the vast majority of us. And you know, so it is the case, isn't it, that our lives are just passing through. We're just passing through. We're only given a very short period of time in this life. But you know, the point I'm trying to bring across here is, despite our fact our lives are short, the decisions that we make in this life will have consequences for all eternity. The decisions that we make concerning the Lord Jesus Christ will determine where we will spend eternity. The Bible's quite clear about that. But you know, we have this one short life in which we can make a choice as to whether we're going to choose to trust and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his way, or whether we'll turn our backs upon what God has prepared for us and what God is offering us, and we'll choose to go our own way, and we'll choose to be separated from God in eternity. It's quite a sober thought, you know. And life is short. We don't know how long we might have. You know, that really would bring me on to the next point. Death is sure. Again, it sounds a somber subject to talk about, doesn't it? And that verse that we read, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, there's no surer thing, is there, than death. It's quite a strange thing, you know. We had a speaker with us in Kinross just a week or so ago, and he pointed out a fact that's quite true. He said, you know, we prepare for everything in life except for death. You know, you think about the preparations that you make for a holiday, and you plan everywhere you're going to go and all the various places on the itinerary, and you make all the arrangements, or you plan for this certain event, and perhaps a wedding, or perhaps some other thing that you're doing. We make great preparations and plans for things in this life. And yet many of us, in fact probably the majority, pay little thought and make little preparation for what lies beyond this life. You know, and it's a sad fact, isn't it, that there's men and women in this world tonight who are so focused on building up material wealth, so focused on gaining position and authority in business or in work or in whatever form it might be. They're so focused on doing the things to gain themselves something here and now, and they're paying no attention whatsoever to what lies beyond this life. And everything that they've gathered together, everything that they've made, everything that they've worked so hard for in this life is worth nothing to them in the next life. You know, it's been interesting over these recent weeks, isn't it, when there's been this panic about the financial crisis in the world in which we live. And everyone's scrabbling around, wondering where they should be putting their money and what they should be doing. And it's as if, you know, that's all that matters, isn't it, in their lives. We've got to have our financial security. We've got to be sure that our money's safe and that it's not going to disappear on us. Well, you know, money's only good for time, isn't it? Money's no good when we've passed out of this life into the next. And people are making preparations, they're trying to work out what to do with their money, this account, that account, make sure it's spread around, all this, and you're paying all this time and attention to doing that. And yet, you know, when you ask them about eternity, are you ready for eternity? Have you prepared an account for your future in heaven? And they look at you as if they think, well, what do you mean? I've got far too much to worry about apart from thinking about the things of eternity. But tonight, friend, I'll tell you, the most important thing to prepare for is the life after this life is done. You need to prepare for eternity now. You need to get right with God now, while you have opportunity, while you have opportunity in this life. You know, the scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's from the book of Proverbs. You know, there's some very wise sayings in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another hour. We only have now. And the scripture says we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Not one of us here tonight knows what lies ahead for us tomorrow. We need to be prepared here and now for the things that lie ahead. You know, I'm sure you can understand that, can't you? You know, we only need to listen to the news and we pick up our newspapers. And we see tremendous tragedies in the world, don't we? We've seen earthquakes even this last year in China and other places. We've had in recent years these terrible events, the tsunamis and terrorist attacks and all sorts of things that come from nowhere, it would appear, but yet take lives in an instant. And I'm sure there's not one here in the hall this evening who couldn't understand and perhaps knows someone in a family or a relation or a close friend who's had tragedy come into their lives, whether it's through accident or through ill health or through some other event. Life is but a heartbeat, isn't it? It's here one moment and it's gone the next. And the scriptures are telling us time and time again, we need to prepare for our future. Not our financial future, but our future in eternity. And now is the time to get right with God. You know, it's a little bit of a wake-up call, isn't it? That's what we need. We all become very complacent. We all become very complacent in the lives that we're living. We're very focused on the things that we have to do for today, whether it's to do with our businesses or our work or our schools or just getting on with life. And we become so crowded in with the things of this life. But you know, we need to wake up and recognize that there's something far more important that we need to prepare for. You know, whether it's going to be, are we going to be in heaven? Or are we going to be in hell? You know, we don't like to hear that, do we? We don't like to hear the starkness of the choice. But that's the reality of it. The choice that we make in our lives here and now will determine whether we will spend eternity in heaven or whether it be forever separated from God in that lost eternity the Bible calls hell. So you know, life is short and death is sure. Now that brings us on to the third point. Sin is the cause. Because you might be thinking to yourself, well, how has all this come about? How has it come about that I have to make such a choice and that I have the prospect of either going to heaven or hell? How has this all come about that I'm put into this situation of having to make this choice in my life? Well, you know, again, the Bible tells us, you know, the Bible brings us the answers to our questions. If we take the time to seek them out and to listen and to read the Word of God. But you know, sin is the cause. You know, we read that verse, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is the cause. You know, sin, perhaps not a word that we would use in everyday language today, but sin really means disobedience towards God. It means going against God, doing our own thing, not doing those things that God would want us to do. You know, when God created the world, we read from the very beginning of our Bibles in the book of Genesis how God created the world. We can see there how God made a perfect world. Everything was good. You know, time and time again, as you read through that chapter, the first chapters of Genesis, and God made these various things in the world, it was good. He saw it and it was good. And you know, God made man from the dust of the ground. And he made him in his own image, and he breathed life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Man became different than anything else that God had made, because God breathed into him life, and he became a living soul, the Bible says. But he was good. And God placed Adam and Eve, that he made from Adam's rib, in the Garden of Eden. And everything there was provided for that first man that God had made. He needed nothing. But you know, it's interesting that we read through those chapters and we see how God gave Adam the opportunity to choose. And he said to Adam, you mustn't take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. But Adam chose to take that fruit. They were beguiled, Adam and Eve were beguiled by the serpent, and they chose to take the fruit. And in taking that fruit that God had told them not to take of, they disobeyed God. And sin, disobedience, entered in to the heart of man, that first man, Adam. And you'll know well that we are all descendants from that first man, Adam. And that sin which entered into his heart has passed down through all the generations to the very generation in which we find ourselves today. We have sin within us. We have a disobedient heart. And you know, that disobedience that's within us comes out in the actions that we do. You know, we see it, don't we, from a young age. Can we deny it? That we know, don't we, how to tell a lie. We know how to be deceitful. We have pride within us. We have jealousy within us. We have all these things that come up from within us that are just symptoms of the very fact that we are sinners at heart. This is sin that is within us. And it comes out. And sometimes it comes out in terrible ways. That jealousy and that anger becomes hurtful and becomes dangerous and damaging to others. And it leads to terrible things. But you know, God doesn't distinguish between the degrees of sin. God looks upon mankind and sees that we are all sinners. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight can deny the very fact that we are sinners, that we have these things within our hearts. You know, so I have talked to people, and they will try and say to me that they live as good a life as they possibly can. They try their very best to do right by people, to do the right thing all the time. And I'm sure they do. And I'm sure they have sincere hearts to try and do the very best they can. But you know, they're still sinners. Because they'll still have a wrong thought, or they'll do a wrong action, or they'll have told a lie. But these are only the symptoms, but still within, no matter how good they are, they have sin in their very heart. There's not one of us that is not a sinner tonight. Each of us needs to get right with God because of that sin that's within us. And again, the Bible tells us, you know, the wages of sin is death. This is why sin is the cause. Back in the verse that we read in Romans chapter 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And another verse, as we've said, is the wages of sin is death. This is where death came from. Because of the consequences of sin that came into the world. And you know, there's coming a day that when men pass into death, that there's coming a day when they'll stand before God. And this brings us into another part of the verse that, you know, this is where the judgment comes. That men will have to stand before a righteous and a holy God. And God will have a book. And it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, I was looking at a program on the television last night, and they were talking about this Remembrance Day today, and there's a remembrance book. And it comes up, and in this remembrance book are all the names of people who've given their lives for their country. And they can look through all these names in this book. Well, you know that God has a book, and the Bible tells us about this book, and it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book are entered the names of all those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as Lord and Saviour. And the Bible's quite clear that one day the books will be opened and the names will be read. And if your name's not written down in that book, then the Bible tells us that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Now that's a very somber thought, you know, but it's a real situation that men and women find themselves in tonight. But if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you don't know him as Lord and Saviour, that one day God will read that book and your name won't be there. Your name won't be there. And you'll be lost for all eternity. You know, the Lord, the Bible reminds us that God will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." How sad are those words? You know, to think that you might have sat under the sound of God's word, you might have heard the gospel message many times, you might know that you're a sinner, and yet you might choose not to trust Christ. But in a day to come, you might hear those words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." You know, you've turned your back on Christ, and in the end, God will turn his back on you, as it were, almost. And that's a very sad picture, you know, that at the moment God is doing everything he possibly can. And in fact, he's done more than he could do, than he could be expected to do almost, in the very fact that he's given his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Saviour. And yet if you've not yet trusted him as Saviour, it's as if you're turning your back on him and saying, "No, I don't want anything to do with this." You know, one day you'll be faced with the consequences of that if you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us on to my fourth point. Christ is the cure. Sounds very somber, isn't it, all we've seen tonight? Life is short, death is sure, sin's the cause. But you know, praise God tonight, Christ is the cure. Christ is the cure. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cure to the problem of sin, to the problem that we have, men and women and boys and girls. And you know, God gave his Son. As you read in that verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world." That's why God gave his Son. Because he loves you. He loves you and he loves me. He loves mankind because he made us. He made us in his own image. He made us for himself. He made us that he might have that closeness and that fellowship and that communion with us. And it was man that turned their backs on God. But God in his love has given his Son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever, whosoever, you, me, whoever, believes in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven." That's God's promise. And that's God's promise to each and every one tonight. He loves you so much, he gave his Son for you, that you might be in heaven with him. Oh, it's a tremendous thing, you know, to think that you can spend all eternity in heaven with the one who gave himself for you at the cross of Calvary. And we just have to think for a few moments about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It's an amazing thing to think that the very Son of God, the one who made the world that we were just thinking about a few moments ago, made everything that was in the world, he was there at the beginning, the creator of the world. He was the one who became as a man and was born in Bethlehem. You know, in a few weeks' time, again, we're coming up to Christmas time, we'll be reminded again afresh of the tremendous events that took place at Bethlehem. That there was one that was born of a virgin, born into a lowly stable in Bethlehem, one who was brought up in a despised town called Nazareth, one who was going to perform some tremendous miracles was the very Son of God himself. You know, we can think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there were some quiet, silent years, as the Bible would say, where we don't know much about what happened as he was growing up. But you know, there's one thing recorded at the age of 12, when the Lord Jesus was amongst the wise men of the day. Only 12 years of age in the temple. And these men were amazed at the things that he knew. They listened to him and they couldn't believe what they were hearing, that such a young boy at 12 knew everything that there was in the scriptures. But he knew it, because he was the very author of it. And you know, he said to Mary and Joseph as they were seeking him out, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You know, he, even at that age, knew what his purpose was. That his purpose was to come into this world to go to a place called Calvary. You know, we remember that, don't we, particularly at Easter time. You know, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross. You know, he lived a perfect and a holy life. And if you were to read through the Gospels, you'd read many accounts of the wonderful things the Lord Jesus did in his life. Not only the tremendous miracles that he did that proved who he was, that he was God, for none other could do those miracles. None other could give sight to the blind, could make the lame to walk, could raise the very dead back to life again, could speak and the wind would be calmed in an instant, could take a few loaves and fishes and feed a multitude with them, could turn water into the best wine that they'd ever tasted. All these things were evidences of the very fact that this was no ordinary man. This was the very Son of God. Men marvelled at the things he said and the things that he did. But not only that, you know, he never said a wrong word. He never did a wrong deed. He was a perfect and a holy person, because he was God. You know, there are those around who would try and make out that he was just a good man who did good things and lived a good life. No, he wasn't just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh, appearing as a man, but yet he was ever God, perfect and pure and holy. And having lived that life of 33 years, he allowed men, evil men, cruel men, to take him and to buffet him and to beat him and to make false accusations about him. For they were false accusations. Even Pilate, that Roman governor of the day, could say, "I find no fault in this man. This man had done nothing wrong." And yet they purposed to get rid of him, to nail him to a cross. But you know, it wasn't just in man's purpose. God was overruling all the events that were taking place. And God's purposes were being worked out, even in those terrible events and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary. Because you know, the scriptures tell us that for 3 hours when the Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, the whole world was plunged into darkness. 3 hours of darkness. When in those hours, God himself punished his own Son, the Lord Jesus, for your sin and for my sin. That's why Christ is the cure. He paid the price that we might be made aright with God. We were separated from God because of our sin. Sin was the cause of that separation. But Christ has been the one who's been able to bridge that gap and bring us back to God, because he paid the price for our sin. But if we trust in him, if we have faith to believe on him, we can have our sins forgiven. And they can have the slate wiped clean. And everything that we've ever done wrong will be dealt with. The sin that's in our heart will be covered, because Christ's blood was shed at that cross of Calvary. You know, the Lord Jesus himself cried out from the cross after those 3 hours, "It is finished." You know, tremendous words. The work was done. You know, there are men and women who live through their lives striving to do good, striving to earn favour with God, striving to gain favour with God, that they might be trying to get a place in heaven. You know, they don't need to do any of that. The Lord Jesus Christ has done the work that saves. He's done everything that needs to be done, that you and I could be in heaven with him for all eternity. I wonder tonight, are you saved? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Have you come into the good of what he's done for you on that cross? Have you really trusted in him? You know, if you have, You've prayed that prayer in your heart, and you know it tonight. You're rejoicing. You're rejoicing because you know the prospect, your prospect for the future is secure. You know, in the world in which we live, there's people panicking for all sorts of reasons, and nothing is secure for them. They have no security. But you know, when you come to know Christ as your Saviour, you have a security that's like nothing else. Because you know, whatever happens in this life is of no consequence, because you've secured your place in eternity. That's the most important thing. Have you got that security tonight? You need to take the opportunity now. You know, just to close, the scripture says, as we open the meeting with sort of thinking about time, you know, the scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You're not promised anything else except for now. You have the here and now. And you can take that step of faith now before you leave the hall tonight. If you haven't already done so, you, in your own heart, can trust Christ for the work that he's done. Ask him to forgive you for your sins, and he'll forgive those sins, and you'll know a peace with God that you've never known before. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just think on these four little headings then. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin, the curse. Christ, the cure. Shall we just pray? Our God and our Father, we do indeed just praise thee and thank thee tonight for thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll ever thank thee, our Father, for the very fact that thy Son came into this world. He was born in that manger at Bethlehem. He lived a humble and a pure and a holy life, a life that was to be laid down at that cross of Calvary, that each and every one of us, through faith in him, might know peace with thee and forgiveness for our sins and the wonderful prospect of eternity in heaven. Pray tonight, our Father, that each and every one that's gathered here in this hall might have that peace, might have that security of knowing that they have trusted Christ and know him as Lord and Saviour. We just pray then now for thy parting blessing and watch over us as we go our separate ways, as we commend ourselves into thy care, in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. I wonder perhaps if we could take time just to sing a hymn, just perhaps remaining seated. We could sing the words of number 124, 124. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Perhaps we could sing the first two and the last verse of 124, please. And then our meeting is over.